So we were discussing the topic of Nogeh B'Damar. There's much, much more to say about that, but we have to move on. So let's move to the Mishnah here on Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph. Do we have the Rambam? Yeah. Okay, because I think sheet-wise, I've been having some problems with the program, so it's Hafla you have.
Hafla?
Do you have Hafla?
Yeah.
Excellent, thank you. Okay. You know, what else do you have?
Shoftim.
Okay, we'll see if we can use Shoftim. We'll try to work it in. Okay. So the Mishnah says here on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Mashbiani Alechem Milo Tavo'u V'Ta'iduni Shigesh Li Biad Ploni Pikadon Tzumes Yad V'Gezel V'Aveda. These are actually very interesting cases. Again, the fellow imposes on two witnesses that they should come and testify on his behalf, right? That they know testimony that can help his case. And they should come to testify that he, right, is really the proper owner and has been bamboozled, if you will. You know, people have been, this other fellow has been cheating him by denying that he has his pikadon, or that he owes him money, tzumes yad, or gezel, or that he stole from him, or aveda, that he picked up his aveda and is not returning it, right, and so on. The reason it's interesting a little bit is that these are all the circumstances of the next parak of Shuas HaPikadon. Right, these are the cases of Shuas HaPikadon. But what's interesting about it is, in other words, typically Shuas HaPikadon is when the you know, the accusation is made to the Goslin. In other words, I accuse you of stealing my, or, you know, owing me money and refusing to acknowledge it, and so on and so forth. And then the Nitva, the one who is the defendant, responds and says, "What are you talking about? I'm willing to take a Shvu D'Oraisa so that it's not true," and he lies and so on. Here, right, the fellow comes to court, right, to take demands that two witnesses testify in this Din Torah, the Tovea, in other words, about this exact circumstance, and the two Edom deny that they know anything. So it's the exact same Hechetimtzi as Shuas HaPikadon, but it's the Shuas HaEdos of a Shuas HaPikadon case, if you will, which is an interesting irony, and it raises certain interesting questions that we'll discuss in just a minute. So the Mishnah just says about these cases, Shvua she'einanu yodim l'cha edus, right? If they respond and they say, you know, your information is wrong, we don't know anything, right? So the halacha is ein chayavin ela achas, right? If there's a multiple multifaceted, let's say, accusation, right, and a single integrated denial, right? So the halacha is ein chayav in ala achas, right? But it turns out that they lied. There's only one korban to bring, even though it was, you know, testify about the gezel, testify about the abeda, testify about the pikadon. He said, I don't know any of that, right? So by integrating it all together, it's only one shvua. However, if he says shvua, if they say, sorry, shvua she'ein anu yodim, that we don't know, she'esh l'cha b'yad ploni, pikadon u'tzumas yad, the gezel v'aveda, we don't know any of these things, right? And they respond by delineating each one, by enumerating each one. So then the halacha is at chayavin al kolachas yachas. Then they have to bring four or five, whatever the amount is, of karbanos. Now that, of course, is fascinating on two levels. The question per se is very interesting because the substance is the same, right? From a choshen mishpat, all this time we're trying to figure out the relationship between what we call the choshen mishpat part of this topic and the hafla part of the topic. In other words, both in Shuas Edus and Shuas HaPikadon, as we've been explaining, they're both hybrids. They both include two elements. There's a Shuas Sheker that is being taken. That's the hafla, the bitui part, right? But the shvuas sheker is in a matter which is monetarily consequential, has a choshen mishpat element. In the case of shvuas hapikadon, it's the guy hiding behind the shvua, right, to further, or to at least to continue his act of theft. In the case of Shavuos Eidos, they're hiding behind the Shavuos Sheker, right, so as not to have to be involved or forthcoming in the case, right, where their testimony, right, will prevail and will, you know, benefit, you know, the Toveya in this Choshen Mishpat application. So, in terms of the Choshen Mishpat part of it, right, there's at zero difference in terms of what is at stake, you know, if the formulation is integrated or if the formulation is compartmentalized or broken up. If I say Shvua She'einanu Yodim ala Pikadom, Ve'einanu Yodim ala Gezel, Ve'einanu Yodim ala Veda, right, or I say Shvua She'einanu Yodim, you know, Shum Davar, right, the Choshen Mishpat piece is identical. What's different, of course, is only the Haflah piece, the Bitui piece, right? Am I including this in one fell swoop under one Shvua, right? Or am I saying, I'm taking a Shvua about this, I'm taking a Shvua about that, I'm taking a Shvua about the next thing, etc. So one could have thought that this Gufa should depend, right, not just on the way that you formulate it, but on the balance, on the relationship between the Shvua part and the Choshen Mishpat part. And from that point of view, one also, it would have been an opening, it might be an opening, to think that there might be a difference between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon in this question Gufa, if indeed there's a difference between them regarding the balance of the Choshen Mishpat part and the Haflah part. In other words, if I say we have these two hybrids, right, and they're also not parallel or identical in the balance between the two components of one to the other, rather that one is heavily accented, you know, towards the Choshen Mishpat part, right, and the other is heavily, you know, rooted in the Haflah part. Or to say it in a different way, that the Rambam in theory, right, could have decided just as well to put one of them in this book, right, which is Sefer Haflah, right, and the other one in, well, at least if he decided to put Eidos in the Choshen Mishpat one, he would have put it in that book, right? Sefer Shoftim?
Shoftim.
Yeah. Or, if he decided to put Shavuos HaPikadon in Choshen Mishpat, he would have put it in Sefer Nezikin. So then I might have said, goof on this interesting question, namely, where the Haflas are broken up, but the Choshen Mishpat is the same, right? The one that is more where the Mechayev is the Shavuos Sheker, but it's a Tanai in Shavuos Sheker. This is a Bitui, but this is a Bitui which contributes or furthers or reinforces Gezel. This is a Bitui, right, which is particularly egregious because, you know, it's a vehicle also to deny your civic responsibility of coming forward to Eidos. Right? So then what I might have said was, if one of these is more Haflah-oriented, then it can be broken up into different karbanos. But the one, or both of them, as the case may be, that is more Choshen Mishpat-oriented, is either always broken up or never broken up. It shouldn't be broken up by the way that you happen to articulate it. So that's why this is a very interesting discussion here, and the fact is that there's a parallel in the Mishnah later on in with regard to Shavuos HaPikadon, but with a little bit of food for thought. If you look here on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah of Shavuos HaPikadon, we have the parallel to this. But you have this exact parallel in a few kind of satellite cases. If you look here on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, you see the second asterisk. It's 3, 6, 9, 10 lines down from the top of the myth, from the beginning of the Mishnah. Shavuos HaPikadon Ketzad? Everybody have that? Shavuos HaPikadon Ketzad. Amalo Tainli Pikdoni. Give me the Pikadon, Shieshli Biyadcha. Give me back the Pikadon that I gave you to watch. Right? And the guy says, Shvua She'en Lecha Biyadi. I swear I don't have it. or I never got it. Oshamar in the chabiyadi, or the other guy says, you know, you don't have it. And the guy says, Maj biachani, right? I impose a shvua, amar amen, are zechai. Then the Mishnah says, Hishbiya olav chamesh pa'amim, bein bifnei bezdin, bein shelo bifnei bezdin, the kapar, chayvo kalachas viachas. Let's say, you know, he does this five times in a row. Because he says to him, I demand that you swear you don't owe me money. The guy does it. And then he, you know, a day later or 10 minutes later, he does it again. Right? Each time he lies again. He lies five times in a row. Over 5 days, over 5 months, over 5 minutes, it doesn't make a difference. So the Mishnah says, Chayvo kolachas viachas. Why? Unlike Shavuos Ha'edus, if you were to deny in Beis Din your knowledge of testimony, in Beis Din, the Mishnah says earlier, you're only b'chayv once. Why? Because kivin shehigid shuvah nechozer magid. That's a technicality, meaning you can't change your testimony, so the only time you damaged him was the first time, because beyond that, you couldn't. If you told him you knew, you wouldn't be able to testify anyway. But chutz lebez, then that's a different story. So then the Mishnah says, Hayu chamisha tovim also. Let's say five different people demanded of him. Right? Amrulo, they sent him, Tein lonu, bikadum sheyesh lonu biyadecha. And he answers, Shvush ein lechem biyadi, ein lechai vel achas. Let's say he says, Shvush ein lecha biyadi velo lecha velo lecha velo lecha. That's again, the content is the same. Right? If I say I don't know the $100 that I owe you guys, or that you guys claim I owe you, or I say, you know, I don't owe you 20, and I don't owe you 20, and I don't owe you 20, and I don't owe you 20, right? The Choshen Mishpat is the same. And the Mishnah is saying, Chayvo kolachas viachas. But here, Rabbi Lazar says, Ad sheyomar shvua bachrona. Maybe for this to be the case, he has to repeat the word shvua in the end. Rabbi Shimon says that Shiomar Shvua lekol echad biyachad. Then the next part of the Mishnah, Tainli pikadon usumas yad, the gezel v'avedu sheyeshli biyadacha. The guy says five different or four different, you know, types of gezel, and the guy says Shvua shein lecha biyadi, enochay v'lachas. This is the exact parallel to what we just read in Shvua Seidus. Shvua shein lecha biyadi pikadon usumas yad the gezel v'avedu chay v'kolachas biyachas. That's exactly what we had in our mission Shua Seidus. And then finally, right, this is not different types of gazelle, but different items, you know, that are the, you know, the victims of the gazelle. But if he breaks it up, Chayiv kolachas viachas, even though each one is less than a pruta. So the point I'm trying to make is there are two interesting things. On the one hand, what's interesting is the parallel, right? Because in the case of ein lecha biyadi, gezel the oshek the aveda upikadon, etc., that the mishnayos are identical, right? But when it comes to chitin sorin, multiple people, that is much more developed in Shavuos HaPikadon than it is in Shavuos Ha'edus. And the question is, are there differences between them? Why would there be differences between them? I mean, again, the issue is seemingly, objectively the same. Namely, in both cases, there are more than one way to articulate something, and we're trying to figure out whether or not saying it one way or saying it the other way matters, or the only thing that really matters is the substance of the denial. The substance of the denial is the case. Is all the same in all the cases. Right? So it becomes possibly a vehicle for, again, determining whether or not to distinguish in this question between one hybrid and the other, between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon. If you think Shavuos Ha'edus, like the Rajba thinks, is more about Hafsid Mamon, and Shavuos HaPikadon is more about Vikichesh Bamiso, more about Bitui, which I think the Rambam holds as well, you know, then you're going to be more hypersensitive to the formulation in Shavuos HaPikadon, which it sounds like that way in the Mishnah, than in Shavuos Ha'edus. If you hold the opposite, which the Rav thought Reb Chaim did, but in the Rambam, but I think the evidence mostly goes in the other direction, except for a few points, which I hope we'll get to, then you should get the opposite result. But either way, you may not get the same result. Okay. So that's an interesting point in the beginning of the Mishnah that requires more work, right, to try to isolate the treatment of Shavuos Eves and Shavuos HaPikadon in situations where you have multiple Shavuos, but the same content of Chosh HaMishpat. Okay, that's point number one.
In Shavuos HaPikadon, the emphasis should be on the Gzela part, on the Chosh HaMishpat part.
Why?
Because he's benefiting by lying. He's
right, so that's another way. That's what Reb Chaim thought.
The Edom don't benefit. You know, they're
right. Correct. That is true, but and that's, I think, part of what impelled Reb Chaim. In addition to the fact that Reb Chaim was very impressed by two other things. Number one, the Gemara, when it speaks about Shavuos HaPikadon and Karka, also quotes the sugya of Karka in an Exelas, although I think that there are other ways to understand that, but the Gemara Lamed Zayin would base. And the Rambam holds that the din of Ein Nishba'in al Kfir Shiva Karkos, which I'm not going to get to now because it's complicated and it's not our topic right now, that may apply only to Shavuos HaPikadon for these reads. So there are indications that way, and you're pointing out that logically there's a good reason to think that Shavuos HaPikadon is more Chosh HaMishpat because it's a more direct benefit and cost. The other side of it is to say that even without the Shvuah, you're already kind of a Gazlan, the Kichesh, right? And since it's not Vayigzal Asachanis exactly, the Shvuah part is certainly not Vayigzal Asachanis Miyad HaMitzri, so you might argue that it is, you know, very heavily propped up by the Shvuah. And that you really have also a Gazel, but you have that through already the Hakasha, even without the Shvuah. So that's the other side of the coin. The fact that there's a Chomesh in Shavuos HaPikadon is also interesting. It's a Chomesh which gets bumped by Kefel if they apply to the same case. That's interesting. And basically, if you look very carefully at the Psukim in the end of Parshas Vayikra, this is the last, Shavuos HaPikadon is an Asham, and it's the last of the group of Karbanos. And as you have Ola and Zebach and Chatas, and then you have some like specialty Karbanos, including Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitui, and you know, Tumas Mikdash Vakadashav, and you know, Asham Mi'ilos. And then the last one, before you get to Parshas Tzav, is Asham Gzelos. Then you have Tzav, which the Ramban says is the, also about Ola, but it's from the Kohanim perspective, not from the Karban perspective. To use the Ramban at the beginning of Tzav. So it's interesting, it's the last one. It's the largest, it's the most psukim of any of the Karbanos, and it's the most complicated. And you have, the truth is, in an Asham Gzelos, for Shavuos HaPikadon, you bring an Asham, not a Chatas, you have to, you're Chayv Karen, and you're also Chayv Chomesh. You have three obligations. And what's particularly fascinating is that there are two different venues in Shas that talk about this, and the question is why. The Sugya of Asham Gzelos, the Asham, and the Karen, also, but especially the Asham, is spoken here in the fifth parak of Shavuos. But in the Mishnah, they don't say a word about the Chomesh. And the Chomesh, and mostly the Karen of the Chomesh, is spoken of in the Sugya in Bava Kama, in parak HaGozel Kama, and of Kuf Dalid, I'm sorry, Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. So you have two Mishnah, the Rashash here, and Shavuos HaPikadon makes the Ha'ara also. I noticed it, and it bothered me, and somebody recently told me Rashash also asked the question. There might be differences between the Chomesh part and the Asham and the Karen part. And again, the Rambam speaks about the Dinim of Shavuos HaPikadon really in two places, right? In Perek Zayin and Perek Ches of Hilchos Shavuos, but also in Perek Zayin Hilchos Gzela. But in both places he mentions Chomesh also in Hilchos Shavuos, and he mentions the Asham and the Karen also in Hilchos Gzela. Unlike the Mishnayos, which are mutually exclusive, it doesn't go that far. But the heavy emphasis is the Gemaras in Bava Kama, starting with the Mishnah in Kuf Gimel Amud Beis through like Kuf Ches, those Gemaras which are all about the Chomesh and the Karen, and Hokhin Acha Acharav Vafilo Lamadai, that Rambam deals with in Perek Zayin of Chutz Kseila. Right? The Dinim of Asham, of course, the Bitui part, all dealt with here in Netlas Shavuos. So one could say also, and there are other some discrepancies between them, which might be explained this way, whether or not, you know, again, we just talked about Kafar. The Mishnah says that if you lie about Shavuos HaPikadon, the same charge, same claim, five times, you chayv five Ashamos, right? The Gemara in Bava Kama says, Kafar Vahoda, Kafar Vahoda, Kafar Vahoda, you chayv chomesh for each one. So Tosis in Bava Kama, Dafkuvav Meraleth, Tosis says, I'm sorry, Chesu Meraleth, Tosis says, the Girsa is wrong. Because it doesn't be Kafar Vahoda. You see from the Mishnah in Shua Sapikadon, it's Kafar Vakafar 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 is Chayva Kolechas V'yav. The Girsa is just wrong. But if you look at the Rambam, and this happens to be in Ochot Shavuos, Perek Zayin, the Rambam has two different dinim. What is in Perek Zayin Halacha Tes, where the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Shavuos? Kafar v'nishba arba u'chamisha pa'amim. Right? He kafar, he denied, and he swore his denial 4 or 5 times. Oshesh bi'a tovea arba v'chamisha pa'amim. That's our Mishnah. Bu kofar kolachat v'yachat ben bebezin, ben shalom bebezin, chayv korban osham al kol shavua v'shavua. She'ilu hoda achar shekafar, if he had admitted, haya chayv l'shalom. But he doesn't need to be moda. Since he could have been moda, each kfira is considered a separate kfira. Okay? It's not redundant because he could have admitted. That's halacha tes. Then look comes halacha tes vav, which where the Rambam says the following: Ta'an she'avad habikadon. And this is a quotation of the Gemara in Bava Kama, basically the one I just mentioned. Kufches avadal. Ta'an she'avad habikadon. O kafar v'nishba v'yachak hachoda v'chazar v'toin sh'abad v'nishba v'chazar v'hoda v'shalem ha'keren harishon v'chomesh echad al kol shuo shuo. Sh'nemar chamish yisav yosef alav ator ritsa chumshin har be'al keren echad. So, for some reason the Nosei Kelim al Atar missed it, I don't know why, but the later Achronim noticed it. They said, oh, apparently the Rambam didn't change the girsa that Tosas changed in Bava Kama. That's strange, because six halachos earlier, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah about Asham, and there's no kafar v'hoda, kafar v'hoda. It says, kafar chamesh pa'amim bein bebezin bein chutz lebezin yechayim. Right? So how come when it comes to the chomesh, which he barely relates to it in Ochot Shavuos at all, as I mentioned. Mostly it's the dinim are dealt with in Ochot Gzeila. But how come you need Kafar Vahoda? Right? And there he said very clearly earlier, Kivan Sheyachol Hayal Lahodos. That's enough. So, Rebelville, others just suggest that maybe the Rambam is telling us that this question, Gufa, namely, you know, what's the heavy emphasis? Is it the Hefzim Mam on the Gezel, the Choshem Mishpat part? Or is it the lying part, the Bitui, the Hafla? Which is a Tanai and which is the Mechayev? Maybe the Rambam is telling us very, very succinctly and profoundly that Gufa is a difference between the Asham and the Chomesh. Meaning the Asham, you know, as many times as you lie about it, you should bring it. Because it's basically a specialized chiyuv, you know, shua. But the chomesh, which in the psukim itself, if you ask me, including the trup, is connected to the karen and to the tashlumin, right? That's why there are two different sugyas, you know, one above a kama, and one. That's why there are two different, you know, treatments of the Rambam. So the point is, this is all in response to what you're saying. I mean, it's obviously a big, big topic. And that is, on the one hand, you're totally right, and that apparently was Reb Chaim's perspective, which is that Shvusa Pikadon would seem to be more oriented towards the Gezel side, because there's a direct connection. Namely, the Nishba but Lasheker is the Gazlan through the Sheker. And that's not true in Shvusa Eidos. There's no Dina de Garmi, even according to 90% of the Rishonim, with Tosas Rin and a few others being exception. And even that is Garmi, it's not Gezel, right? On the other hand, what I'm trying to say is that there's a whole other aspect of Gezel going on here anyway. And the Chomish part anyway may exactly be that. And maybe what's singular about the Asham is Dafka, that it's about Sheker. And certainly that was the view of the Rajba, which we saw, and the Tosa Rush, and I believe it's weighted heavily that way in the Rambam as well. Okay, and that's the first part. Just this part of the mission is food for thought. So Shvuah, where are we? Yeah. So again, the second one. Lashbi ani aleichem lo tzavoy b'toyidu sheish shebiad ploni pikadon chitin sorin kusmin Shvuah shenu liyodim l'cha'edos ein chayavin l'achas Shvuah shenu liyodim l'cha'edos sheish l'cha biad ploni chitin sorin kusmin chayavin al kalachas v'yachas. That's also the parallel in the Shvuah Sabikadon. But if you remember, in Shvuah Sabikadon, the word Tanayim was said, no, you have to say the word Shavua basof. Right? Here they don't say that. So is that just, you know, Divrei HaMishnayis, you know, Aniyim B'mokom Echad and Ashirim B'mokom Acher? And what applies to one applies to the other? Or is this the point that we're zeroing in on right now, which is, no, there are differences between them. Because as much as they share in common of having a hybrid B2E Kosher Mishpat, the weight of the components are different, and that affects it. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, "Majbiyani aleichem imlo tavoi v'toyduni sheishli biad ploni nezek v'chatzi nezek tashlume kefel tashlume arba v'chamisha she'onas ish ploni es biti pitas biti she'ikani b'ni she'chovo b'chaberi she'hidlik es gedishi v'yom ha'kipurim arei l'chayav." A whole bunch of other cases, right? Where, again, the person is lying about his obligation, and there is a chi. Now, some of these cases appear to be knossos. We'll analyze that in the Gemara in a minute. Chatzi nezek, tashlum kefel, tashlum dalam dehei. Is there shuasa bikadam beknas? I mean, is there shuasa edus beknas? She'onas ish ploni is bito, pitos bito. Right? We'll see that in a minute. She'ikani b'ni is something else. Right? Ikani b'ni is a situation of mamon, unless there's chabala. If there's chabala, that's a chiyuv misa. Mishnah is careful not to mention chabala here, because that would be kamle bidaraba mine. So I want to talk about that for a second as well. Bishachava bichaveri, right, is that's mamon. Shehidle gedishib yom kippurim, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, that's a debate between Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana and the Chachamim, whether or not, because again, Malach on Yom Kippur is not a chiyuv bezdin, misas bezdin, but it is a chiyuv misa b'nei shemayim, or kares. And the question is whether the din of kamle b'deraba minei applies to kares or only to misas bezdin. Either way, the Gemara is going to explain that we don't hold the Gram Nechunya ben Akana, therefore there is no kamle b'deraba minei. In the case of hikani b'ni, there's no chabala, so there's no misa. Now, the Mishnah's studiously avoiding cases of kamle b'deraba. Okay. So let me say something about that too, since, you know, why not, right? It would seem obvious that there cannot be cases of kamle b'deraba in Shavuos Eidos. Or in Shavuos HaPikadon, for that matter, either. Again, it's interesting that it's mentioned in Shavuos Eidos and it's not mentioned in Shavuos HaPikadon. Well, it could just be Divrei, again, HaMishnayis, Ashirim, and Aniyim. Or Aniyim and Ashirim. In this case, it would be Ashirim and Aniyim. Is there any possibility, you know, that this wouldn't be self-evident? Well, obviously, if I'm wondering about it in Shavuos HaPikadon, you know, there must be something going on, right? So the truth is that Kamalei B'drabim, if we're talking about Befo'al Chiyuv Mamon, it's pot. That's the din. Kamalei B'drabim is pot. We all agree that there has to be a Choshen Mishpat component in Shavuos Eidus, and there has to be a Choshen Mishpat component, right, in Shavuos HaPikada. So it's safe to say that Kamalei B'drabim is excluded. Anybody who holds that Kamalei B'drabim is excluded doesn't have to explain anything, because Lamaisa Bezdin cannot execute a chiyuv in that case. Okay, so why am I even talking about it, spending time on it? Because at least according to a very prominent group of Rishonim, Rashi, Bali Tosis, and so on, even though Kamalei B'drabim is patur, right, there is a chiyuv latzei sedei shamayim. There is an obligation, right, to pay. That's how Rashi and Tosis and most Rishonim read a certain Gemara that appears in a few places. You know, Eslan Zona Ba'alimo, whatever, sort of case of Eslan Zona. There's a Chiyuv Latzei Sedei Shamayim. Now, this Chiyuv Latzei Sedei Shamayim is something that we mentioned earlier in the year when we talked about the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Vav, which says that, you know, Hayodea Eidus L'Chaveiro Ve'ino Meid, which is a linchpin for Shavuos Eidus, the person knows testimony, he doesn't testify, that he's Chayiv Latzei Sedei Shamayim. Right? What does that mean? Chayiv Latzei Sedei Shamayim. So at that point, we noted there's a major, major debate among the poskim, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, earlier a little bit in the Rishonim. Like, what do we mean that there's a Chayiv Latzei Sedei Shamayim? Every time the phrase Chayiv Latzei Sedei Shamayim appears anywhere in Shas, right, there are basically, I don't want to simplify, two different ways to understand it. One way is to understand that it's a real chiyuv mamon, it's a real kosher mishpat obligation, albeit one which is not implementable by Bezdin. As Bezdin won't act on it, you owe money, they just won't work to collect it. There's a p'tur tashlumim, even though you have a chiyuv mamon. But it's a choshev mishpat kind of a chiyuv. And in other cases, or it's always possible, that the chiyuv latzei sedei shamayim is like a moral obligation. It's not a financial obligation which we won't implement, right? It is a, it's the right thing to do. That's legally, formally, choshev mishpat wise, what you did doesn't qualify as damages. And you're not, you know, financially responsible. But lefnim mishuras adin, the right thing to do, I call that, let's call it a hilchos deos halacha. Right? Not a hilchos niske mamon halacha. And there are nafkamina. It's a very important issue and a very important question. Okay. So the point I want to make is that if kamei b'drabim can be understood in two ways. Okay? One way is that broadly speaking, right, what we say is, listen, we're giving you the death penalty, or you did a capital, you know, crime, you know, and therefore we're not going to bother with the money. But that doesn't mean that the fellow didn't also suffer $1,000 loss, or $1 million loss, or $10 loss, right? He still, you know, his bank accounts has been depleted, a lot, a little. That the lot and the little, that part doesn't really matter one way or another, right? So, from that point of view, you know, we're not going to, like, you know, it's ridiculous. He's chayv misa, so we're not going to collect. That doesn't mean he doesn't owe it. It doesn't mean he didn't offend him in a choshen mishpat way. The other way to look at it is that, legally and formally, what I call eclipsing, and which works better with certain mikoros, including Tana de Bechizkiya, who's of the opinion that chayv misa shogigin Peturin, that even in cases where you don't implement the morkomor one, right, the fact that, you know, this has the potential, right, to trigger that kind of conclusion, it's what I call, we've spoken here many times about it, a kind of an eclipsing idea. In other words, the capital crime that you did kind of wipes out or neutralizes the financial crime. We don't say, oh, he murdered him, and in the process he also tore his, you know, the bullet, you know, made a hole in his favorite suit. So she also owes him for the dry cleaning, you know, and for the repair of his suit. What we say is there was no theft and there was no, you know, financial damage. Even to think about it that way is, in some respects, you know, a bit offensive. So it's not that we're not going to collect on that. It's that that's what I mean by eclipsing. You know, the capital crime is just so overwhelming and overpowering. You know, it just basically eclipses everything else. Okay. Then there's no chiyuv mamon. Again, in the end of the day, the family's still out, you know, a cleaning on the suit and a bullet hole. And, you know, that's, you know, still something that it would be, from a moral point of view, you know, nice, you know, for them to, you know, not to have to deal with the fallout from that. Right? So, what I'm trying to say here is as follows. We're trying to figure out, inshuas eidus and inshuas hapikadon, right? How much choshen mishpat and how much haflo. Right? If the mechayiv is, you know, the gezel, or the hefsin mamon that is, you know, a consequence of kedishas eidus, then it certainly should be either one, then it certainly should be true that as long as befoal, there's no implementable or executable chiyuv mamon, that choshen mishpat doesn't qualify. It's kfiras dvarim, it's not kfiras mamon. However, if the real mechayiv is the shvus sheker, but there are types of shvus sheker, and this is a specialized, a shvus sheker, which, you know, which also allows you to skirt your civic obligation of coming forward to testify, or a shvus sheker, which additionally reinforces an act of gezel, is a particularly egregious and offensive sheker. So then, I'm not sure whether the choshen mishpat, in theory, has to be executable. Right? Maybe it's enough to say that there's a chiyuv latzis shnei shemayim, but there's a monetary obligation, there's a monetary component. So for that reason, maybe, in theory, there could have been a difference between shvus pikadon and shvus eidus. I don't know if anybody says that. I'm not familiar. At minimum, you know, it might be a good reason for the Mishnah to have to at least elaborate this particular halacha that isn't so obvious. Okay? Good. Now let's move on to the next point. The Gemara says, "Iboy lehu, mashbia edei knas mach." It's all the same types of issue. The Gemara wants to know if you want to be mashbia edim to come testify in a knas case, and they lie about it. Does that trigger korban shvus edus or not? Ah, okay. So,
but the. The person chayav knas is motive, knas is part
of it. Okay. So just hold off for 1 minute. This is exactly where the Gemara is going. But the question is how to integrate that point. So the Gemara says like this. Aliba d'rabalazar b'rab Shimon, says the Gemara, lo tiboylach. If we're talking about the view of Rabbi Eliezer b'rab Shimon, then it shouldn't be an issue. I'll tell you what he says in this. I'll tell you what he says now. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Rab Shimon say? Rabbi Elazar ben Rab Shimon says that the din of knas is different. Knas is different than mamon, but in a very, very narrow sense. And that is the din of hod. I'll say it this way: the din of hodas baldin kimei edim dami. Typically, in a monetary obligation, if I admit that I owe, then I owe. And that's enforceable. If I come to court and I say, I borrowed money from you, right? Or I stole your pen, or whatever it is, hodas adekaren, hodas baldin is kemedim dami. That's enforceable. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that in knossos, hodas baldin, kemedim dami, is not enforceable. However, anything else, if edim come, even if they come after the Hodah, then there's a Chiyuv. In other words, what we call, and what we paskin, which is that Moda Beknas, Kodem, Shabau Edim, is Patur, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, the difference between Knas and Mamon is limited to a situation where you only have Hodah Spaldin, and the Chiddush is that Hodah Spaldin, Kemedim Dami, doesn't apply to be Mechayev you, Knossos. But it's not poter you, minaknas, if you happen to be moda right, prior to the coming of Edim, if Edim come, you're chayiv. That's the dinner, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar. Look at Rashi for a second. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Perek Meruba, who said, Yavo Edim v'yoyidua, v'yoyiduhu. V'yizchayiv, v'yidim v'yidim v'hodah rishona. Just because you were moda before, doesn't mean you're potter after the Edom come. D'chir mina moda b'knas potter d'nafka b'vakama marshiun Elohim prat l'marshias hatzmo hani mila hechid lo osu Edom. Right? That's if Edom don't show up. Then lo mashalim klas apu meidi day on his own testimony, his own hodah, you don't pay. Aval osu sahadi basar hachi mashalim. But if they do show up at some point, you pay. And therefore, lo tibay lach the chayavin sharei hifsidu bikfirasan. The Gemara says like this: if you hold a Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which means that the difference between knas and mamun is very, very negligible, although important, but negligible. Moreover, it's a difference that has zero impact, right? When in a din Torah about shvuas ha'edus, why? Because the consequentiality, if one can say that, of the Edim is no different in Knas than a Mammon, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. That's one, if they come, no matter when they come, they're Mechayim. So the silence of the Edim, their suppression of their testimony, is equally damaging in Knossos as it is in Mammon. Right? And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, it's a no-brainer, says the Gemara, to ask, Lo Tibay Lach, you know, are Knossos different than Mammon and Shavuos Edus? The answer is, of course not. Now, if you ask me, I don't think it's so, of course not. Again, I'm a little bit of a contrarian, I guess. But, you know, again, I'm not arguing with the Gemara, Chalila, but I'm just pointing out that, there might have been room to raise a question, and I'm going to kind of try to revive that idea in just a second. Okay, why? Because there still is one difference. I mean, there is a difference between Knas and Mammon that at least reflects one thing. I mean, you have to ask yourself the question, right? Why is it that Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami doesn't work in Knossos? I mean, good, fine. It's a narrower nafkamina than everybody else. And on the surface, it doesn't impact the effectiveness and therefore the urgency of Edim coming forward. That's all true. Right? But there still, at minimum, seems to be a category, a categorical difference, let's call it, between Mammonus and Knossos, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Meaning, there's a shame Knas. Knas isn't Mammon. Because in Mammon, Hodas Baldin is Kemedim Dami, and in Knas it's not. So if I require, right, in Shvuas Eidos, right, a Shvuas Sheker in a Choshen Mishpat context, is Knossos Choshen Mishpat? I mean, you have to pay, right? But it's not your typical Choshen Mishpat. There's still a circumstance where moda b'knas patur, where we believe you, but we're not enforcing. So maybe it's not that kind of mammon. If there's a formal requirement of shame mammon, maybe that's lacking. Something to think about, and something which we might be able to rehabilitate in a minute or two. Having said that, the Gemara is pretty clear that if Knossos' impact is limited to lack of hodas baldin, but that Edim are effective always, you know, no matter the order of what happens, that all things being equal, we should treat it like Mammon, and it's a no-brainer. Fine. What is the suffix in the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Lo tibay, again, Alibid Rabbalazar Rabshim Lo tibay lach, Da Amri Yavo Edim Yayidu, Ki tibay lach Alibid Rabban. Da Amri, they say, Modu B'Knas V'yachak Bo Edim is Patur. The Rabbanon of the opinion that if you are Modu B'Knas, and only then Edom came. And usually most days in the Gemara say, listen, if you see Edom, running down the road, and then you dash into Bezin ahead of them, you know, that might not be Moda B'Knas either. But let's say you're Moda B'Knas legitimately, and then all of a sudden, you know, Edom come forward, right? So the main, how we paskin is like Rabbanan, that Moda B'Knas is Patur, because it says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, Elohim here is a lashon chol, you know, kind of, meaning dayanim, right? So the dayanim have to be the ones to obligate him. Velo hamarshia esatzmo. Not self-incrimination. And that's not only that you, the din of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, you can't be mechayiv him with Hodas Baldin. It's the din that Hoda is poter. Or maybe the proper formulation is Hoda obviates, right, an exclusive psak din, which would be mechayev him. Okay? I don't want to get too subtle in understanding Knossos for the moment, although it's very relevant. But that's the point. So now the question is as follows. Oh, and this is fascinating, I think. Because in the end of the day, what happens here? Was there already a Hodah?
No.
Clearly not.
Potential.
Because if it was clearly a Hodah, then everybody would agree, presumably, that there would be no key of carbon shuas edus. So if there's no Hodah, then everybody agrees that if the Edom were to come forward right now, they would be Mechayev. Right? So if the Edom coming forward would make them Mechayev, then their suppression is consequential. Right? So again, the consequentiality, if you want to call it that, of the Edom is once again totally beyond question. So why do we care that it's Knossos? Because in abstract and theory, had the Hodah come first, then the Edom wouldn't have, right, had this consequence. But Lemaisa, in this particular case, they did. They do. So what I'm trying to show is, if Shavuos Eidos depends only on the impact of the Edom's suppression and silence, their refusal to come forward, then it's not much different than Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Because the circumstances here are, right, clearly, where the Edom make all the difference in the world. That there what stands between Chiyuv and Ptur. The only thing is, so what is it? Well, how are the Rabbanan any different than Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon? Apparently, well, I think there are two things to say. What Rashi and the Rimigash say is that there's something called a shame knas. The fact that moda b'knas is potur shows you that knas is not mamon. And therefore, even though the Edom make a difference, it's not called kfiras mamon, it's called kfiras knas. Which is, by the way, the basis, I mean, this is not a coincidence. When I said a minute ago, I'm not so sure that Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon can't be part of the mix. After all, if the fact that Moda, right, Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami doesn't apply in Knas, shows that Knas isn't fully Mamon, this is what I had in mind. In the end of the day, even for the Rabbanan, the Edom are totally consequential. But what we seem to be saying is that maybe you need a shame Mamon, right, not just the impact of Edom. Right? Moshe Lamad over Doma. Did we have these kind of cases before? Gemara thought before, right, that Gemara was talking about Eid Echad. Right? Rabbi Elazar, again, the same Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon as it happens. The Gemara says, maybe there's a debate whether Eid Echad is Mechayiv Mamon or Mechayiv Shvua. This is on, what is it, Lam Besom and Aleph. So again, according to Rashi, what the Gemara was wondering was, is Eid Echad Mechayiv Mamon directly? Or is only Mechayiv Shvua? Okay. That would be consequential to the question of Shvua Seidus. But according to the Rimigash, his reading of the Gemara, everybody agrees that Befoal Eid Echad is only Mechayiv Shvua. And the Gemara was arguing whether conceptually it belongs to the world of Mamon, even though he's only Mechayiv Shvua, right? Or this is considered Mamon, right? It belongs to the world of Shvua or Mamon. So there you have a case where how we designate it, now that's conceptually how we look at Eid Echad, according to the Rimigash in the beginning of the Shakavatari and Akamara, is going to determine Shvua Seidus. Of course, there's a parallel opposite case. There's a case where everybody agrees there's no befoal chiyuv mamon, but if you say, oh, al pidin, this is called choshe mishpat, it could be enough. Here we have the opposite. Here we have a situation where if the Edom come forward, they will have a 100% impact. The difference between winning and losing this case depends absolutely on the Edom. There's no difference between Knas and any other case. The Befoal is identical. But what are we suggesting? That if Moda B'Knas, since Moda B'Knas is Patur, which in this case is an abstraction, you know, what might have been, therefore there's no shame Mamon, and since there's no shame Mamon, even though you have a Befoal Hefsed Mamon, maybe it's not enough for Shmuel Seidus. The exact parallel opposite case. Let's just continue with the Gemara for a minute. So it's fascinating that the Gemara also brings in another factor. The Gemara says like this. Right, the Hassam command Sfira Lahu, says the Gemara. Oh, before I get that. So how does Rashi explain the Safek? Exactly like I explained it. Look for a moment. Kitiboylach Vizej Bian Kodim Shahoda Baldin. Right? He imposed the shu upon them before the guy was Moda. The Imheidu, so if they went ahead and they testified, Avim Mishayev. They would absolutely have made all the difference in the world. Choshem Mishpat wise, it's identical to a case of Mamon. Umiyu Hami Bailan, says Rashi. However, the question is as follows. Im Mechaybi Ilav, are they Chayv or not? Mishum de Ikalamemar, Knas Lav Mamon Gamoru. That is an abstraction. That's a conceptualization. Right, it's a proof that our Derech Halimut is correct. Right, the Ihava Mode Mifter Lagamri. Had he been Mode, he would have been Potur. Meaning, this is a different Chalos category. It's not Mamon; it's Knas. Right, Vikalameimar Nami Kolkame Deloodi Mamonu. So the question is, the way Rashi formulates the question is it Mamon as long as he's not Mode? Right? Or it has a shame knas, even when you're chayev. But in Ochanami, everything depends on the shame. You could say it a little differently. You could say that the question is, you know, do we care that it has a shame knas as reflected by the fact that Iboy Moda Miftar? Or do we care that Lamaisa, there's before Alchi of Mamo? You have to look at also at the Rimigash's formulation, which I think is very consistent with his remarks earlier in Lamed Beis. The Rambam has a totally different take. Rambam is fascinating. Why does the Rambam have a different take? I think for two reasons. His view on Knossos generally, which I'll get to in a second if I get a chance. And also, I think he wasn't so thrilled with Rashi and the Rimi Gash's understanding of the question here. What kind of question is that? I mean, in the end of the day, right, there was no Hodah, and since there's no Hodah, there's full Hefsed Mamon. Right? So what should be the Safek? Oh. And not only that, we paskin, by the way, that Moda Mekna, that we paskin that Shuas Eidus and Knossos is Patur. So listen to the language of the Rambam. This is Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. Right, if you impose a shvua on Ede Knas, the kafru, and they lie, Petura Mishua Seedos, Mipnei, Sheim Kideim Hanitva Vahoda Beknas, Yipater Milashal. If the guy had admitted it earlier, before the Edom came, he would have been Pater. So far, the same as the Gemara. Now listen carefully. The Apapi Sheba'u Ha'edim. Even though that's a what if, and what really happened is that the Edom came and therefore they were totally consequential. Nimtzu ha'edim lo chivu ze be'edusan levada, says the Rambam. Turns out, if you look at it this way, that the Edom were not exclusively responsible for this chiyu. Ela edusan im kfiras hanitva hi hamechayevesoso. Actually, right, the combination of the Nitva's lie and the Edim is consequential. V'hoil v'im hodeh lo toi le'dusan im kafra v'nishbu peturim. The Rambam turned this into a totally different issue. Rambam says the idea here is that the Edom have to be the only ones responsible for the chiyuv. And the fact that this guy lied contributes, that's what makes the Edos effective. They wouldn't be effective if he had been Modeh. Now he wasn't Modeh, right? But he was Kofer. So in a way, it's the combination of Kfira, in other words, the Baldavar's Kfira and their Kfira caused the loss. He's not 100% responsible.
By every case, it's like that. Right. By every Nikla, he's Kofir, and that's why you need the...
Right, but here, because it's a din, that Modeh B'Knas is Patur, right? So it's not just, you know, oh, the circumstances. It's the category. What he's saying is, in Knossos, the Edim are not 100% Mechayev. They're 70% Mechayev. 30% the Chiyuv is the Kfiras Atzmo. That's an amazing thing. Why did Rambam say this? He didn't like the idea, right, that Shvuas Eidos, you know, depends on Ibai Miftar. So what he did was he turned it into a way of undercutting the consequentiality of the Edim. The Edim are not solely responsible for the Hefsed Mamon here. Right? The Hefsed Mamon is a function of two things. That's the Rambam. Okay. It also relates, I believe, to his view of Knossos, which we'll get back to in a second. So let's continue for a moment in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Rabbanan the Hasam Kiman Svirlu. What do the Rabbanan think, says the Gemara, about the issue of Dover Hagorim Lamamon Kimamodami? If you remember, the Rabb Elazar Rabb Shimon earlier was of the opinion, the second rendition of Rabb Elazar Rabb Shimon, Lam Besamad Aleph, is that if an Edechot comes and he testifies, and he could testify, it would have triggered a Chiyuv Shvua. And he lies about it. So the Chachamim say, that Eidechad is not Chayv a Korban Shua Seidus. Rabbi Elazar Rabb Shimon disagrees. So the Gemara's conclusion was, even though he's only Mechayv a Shua, there's a 50% chance, a 30% chance, a 70% chance, whatever it is, that the guy is going to be squeamish, and it's going to encourage him to admit that he owes the money. So by not coming forward, right, he didn't 100% cause the loss, but he certainly might have or contributed, right, to the loss. That's called, the Gemara calls that, we already discussed the linguistic significance of this, because it's not the typical Davar Gorin Lamamon Kimamon of Rab Shimon of Kachim Shechai Bachriusam and Kol Tarei Kula. Either it's a melitza or it's a common denominator, but that's not for now. Right? So the Gemara says, what do we hold, what do the Chachamim hold about Davar Gorin Lamamon Kimamon Dami? If they hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabb Shimon, what do they hold about Rabbi Elazar? Yeah, Hadika Amar Kaman Svirla Ilay Mikrab Elazar Rabb Shimon Dahacha Hakamar Davar Gorn Lamamun Kamamun Dami Elikarabanan Dahacha Dami Davar Gorn Lamamun Lav Kamamun Dami. My, if they hold that Davar Gorn Lamamun is Kamamun Dami, right? Then meaning even something like an Eidachad. The Shavua is Chayiv Korban Shavua Seidus, and certainly Shnayim Edim B'Knossos should be Chayiv. That's far, far more consequential, right, than the Davar Agorim of the Eidachad, Shema Yodeh. If they hold Davar Agorim L'mamon, Lav K'mamon Dami, so the Gemara says, this is the question. Even the Ilu Mode Miftar, Lav Mamona Kafarle, since had they been Modeh, that shows that Knas is characterized in a different way. Odilma hashtami elodim. Exactly what we discussed in Rashi. So how does this line in the Gemara understood? Either like Rashi or the Rimi Gash. Either the question is it Avashem Mamon or not? Or it doesn't have a shame mamon. Do we care since there's pure impact or not? That's the second way. Or like the Rambam, do we consider this to be the exclusive, right, fault of the Edim? Or do we say that the kfira of the nitva is not merely the background of the Edim's involvement, but is a contributory factor with them, right, of this loss? That's the Gemara Safek. Oh. Then the Gemara goes on to try to prove it one way or another. Gemara says, Toshma, Mashbiyani Aleichem Emot Tavoy V'Toyduni Shiyesh Libyad Ploni Nezek V'Chatzi Nezek. The Mishnah says, has cases of Knossos. Right? Chatzi Nezek, V'Chatzi Nezek Knossahu. So the Gemara says, no. Kemanda Mar Polganizka Mamona. The Gemara says, there's a debate in Bava Kama whether the din, that tam, right, an animal that, you know, is typically does not, is not a violent animal, though you don't expect to damage. If it damages the first few times that it damages, it pays chatzi nezek. Is that knas? Or is that momo? Okay, we're not going to go into details. Again, it's a little interesting because chatzi nezek knas isn't a typical knas completely. The Ravid is of the opinion, Mailer and Bava Kama next year, so we'll discuss it more then, but the Ravid is of the opinion that the din of Moda B'Knas Patur, Ravid says it in different ways, different places, the big argument about it, but the din of Moda B'Knas Patur, the typical din, doesn't apply fully to Chatzi, to Tam Chatzi Nezek. Why? Because Chatzi Nezek, typically a Knas is more than the amount, or unrelated to the amount. Here it's less than the amount. So chatzi nezek knas might be different. We'll explain why a little more in a minute. But even if you hold palga nizka mamona, that isn't exactly a thousand. I mean, it is mamon formally, but that also is not so simple. Palga nizka mamona means, like, you know, that basically the Torah should have, palga nizka knasa means the Torah should have said you're patur, but they imposed a penalty against you. Palga nizka mamona means they should have said you're chayev nezek shalem. But they gave you chos mamona, they gave you a break. You always have to ask yourself the question, like, why do they give you a break? Here and not, you know, and not in the case of Shane and Regel and so on, and Bor and Aish. They only gave you a break here, chos mamona. So obviously, it surpasses the threshold of being mamon, but obviously it's a more diluted kind of a nezek. Right. So it's just interesting that the Gemara here thinks it depends on the threshold in both directions. One could have said chatzi nezek knas isn't a typical knas, and that chatzi nezek mamon isn't a typical mamon. But anyways, fine. Then the Gemara says, "Hani chalamanda amar palkin iska mamona lamanda amar knasa maikel meimar." What are you going to say according to the other mandamar? We seem to paskin like. So the Gemara says, "Bchatzi nezek tsroros dehilchasa gmirila." The mamona. Again, this it's another Bava Kama topic. The animal's, you know, walking along and it sprays stones or whatever, meaning it's, you know, it's koach rishon, koach sheni, whatever it is, that's called tsroros. And for that you have chatzi nezek, but it's chatzi nezek of mamon. Okay? Again, similar to what I said in a way about the mandamar chatzi nezek mamon. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, Tashlume Kefel. Mishnah says Tashlume Kefel. That's a knas. Right? So the Gemara answers, Mishum Karna. They don't really mean the Kefel. They meant the Keren, which is Mamon. So the Gemara says, but the Tashlume Dal of the Hay. It also mentions Dal of the Hay. The Gemara says again, Mishum Karna. She'anas ish ploni upitas biti. That's a knas. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum Bosha Supagam. Okay. All these cases look like knas. They're not really knas. My kamashmalan, right? Kula mamona hu reisha chada kamashmalan sefa chada kamashmalan. Like, what's the point of mentioning all these cases if they're all mamon? The answer is to teach you the following. Reisha chada kamashmalan dechatzi nezek tsroros is mamona hu. The reisha was written to teach you that chatzi nezek tsroros is mamon. And sefa chada kamashmalan shehid le gedisha biyom ha-kipurim lafuke bai lafuke Midrab Chanina ben Chunya ben Akan. Tanya ben Chunya ben Akan. I also Yom Kippur and Beshab. Kishabes the Tashlumin. Ma Shabbos. Shabbos he really chayv Misa. Misa's Bezin. That's Kamle Midrab. Aminay. From the Chunya ben Akan thought the Yom Kippur, even though there's no Misa's Bezin, is also Kamle Midrab. Aminay. Then we're being told that we don't all like Rab Nechunya ben Akan. And therefore there's no Kamle Midrab. Aminay. And therefore there is a Chiyuv Shuas Eidos in this case. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, Mashbi ani aleichem imlo tavoy v'toyiduni, right, shehotzi ish poni shemra albiti chayavim. But hodem mipiatzvo patur, says the Gemara, ha-mani rablazer brab shimoni, domer yavo edem v'yaidu. That's the reason that you're chayim. Ema seifa, hodem miatzvo patur, says in the seifa that if he was moda, right, before the edem came, it's patur. So the Gemara says, asan rabbanan. Kula Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimoni, v'hachi kama. Actually, this statement is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's from beginning to end, and this is what it means. Lo mashkachas lahoda mipiatzmo, the pator, elaheche deleke edim pa vahoda miatzmo. And if there's only moda, hodas baldin, and there's no edim at all, there'll be a ptur knas, and otherwise not. So the conclusion of the Gemara here is that there's no shuasa edus on knasas. Okay? And again, that would seem to be very mechudash because the Edim are mechayiv the mamon here, right? So again, either because you know it doesn't have a shame mamon and you need shame mamon in addition to befall kiyuv, or like the Rambam, it's not considered, you know, fully their exclusive action. It's a combination, which is very mechudash to say. It's one thing to say that moda beknas is patur, meaning hodas baldin kemedim dami is not mechayiv, and more than that, moda is also poter. Right? Even if achakach bo'edim, it's not asher yashirin Elohim, or it ruins the ability to be marshia, whatever it is. It's quite something else to say that the kfira, or the lack of hoda'ah, of the Baldavar is a contributory factor that combines with the Edim to be Mechayev. But Pashtus would say, if there's no Hodah, then there's no Hodah, and all there is the Edim, and they do 100% of the lifting. So it's a very unusual perspective that the Rambam formulates, but one, because he's just trying to avoid this idea that the shame Knas should be relevant, because the Rambam is very, very, in my opinion, this is again the Rambam L'shitaso. We tried to show that like the Rajba, the Rambam holds that Shvuas Ha'edus is heavily focused on the Hefsed Mamon aspect of Shvuas Ha'edus. So I think the point is that the Rambam, you know, will tell you that, you know, so why should we care whether it's called Shame Knas or Shame Mamon? But if, right, there's a way of looking, and it's a chiddush in the way of looking at knasos, the way of looking at knasos, right, that undercuts the full responsibility of the edim in the hefsed mamon in the case, right, that's a different perspective. And that's the chiddush of how the Rambam looks at it. Yeah.
I was thinking something on the Rambam.
Yeah.
In this case, is it not like a case where this whole thing has been settled and the only thing the guy is trying to collect is the knas? He's not trying to collect the original principle and the knas. He's just trying to collect the knas.
In which case? Which case are you talking about?
In any of these cases, if you're saying,
well, no, in all these cases, the Gemara is saying
it's only the knas.
That we're not even talking about the knas at all. Right. That the knas part is patur, and you're only chayv because of the karen part. Had we whole held that shvus eitus is chayv beknas applies to knas, then you'd be right. But we're paskening that there is no shuas eidos beknas, and that all the cases in the Mishnah are chayiv, are cases of geneva, you know, where there's a karen. I'm saying that's the way it comes out. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but what was the question?
What happened in the case where the original case was settled, and he has to pay the knas, and he has to pay the knas, he has to come back, and there were witnesses that saw that he owes the knas.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad you asked that question. Okay, excellent. So this is a very interesting problem. The Gemara in... Oh, so let me introduce it in the following way. Very good. Look at the Tosfos here for a second. Odil mahashta mias halo ozi. An lamed gimel lamed aleph. Tosfos says the following. Tema. The tifsho mimasisim b'sof perak shvuas hapikadon. In the Mishnah in shvuas hapikadon, that long Mishnah used to be broken up in many of the whatevers. So that's why they say b'sof perak kam. It's really Mishnah. It's all one Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, the way we have it. But they had it broken up. Whatever. So it's towards the end of shvuas hapikadon, in the long Mishnah, they talk about anasto petitas biti. Right, Reb Shimon Poter, Mishum De'ena Meshalim, Knas Al Piyatzmo. That's a quote. Right? Look at the Mishnah just for a second on Lamed, Lamed Bob Mebeis, like in the Doma, in this case, you know, Re'ia L'Shmiya, or Shmiya L'Ria, I guess. Here, where we left off. The asterisk, this is five lines into the wide lines. Anasto patitas biti, v'homer lo anasti v'lo patiti. Everybody see that? Mashbiach aniva amar amen chayev. Rav Shimon Poter shenem mishalim knas al piatzma. Amar lo alpa bishenem mishalim knas al piatzma mishalim boshes gam al piatzma. Right. So you have the same discussion, but everybody seems to be agreeing here in the Mishnah that in knasos there's no shvus of pikado. Let's continue. Benafta shori v'homer lo ganafti. Mashbiachani v'omer amen chayev. Ganafti avalo tavachti v'lo macharti. Mashbiachani v'omer amen potur. Why? Because dalet v'he is knas. Hemis shorcha is shori. V'omer lo hemis mashbiachani v'omer amen chayev. Because one animal beats up or kills another animal, that's nezek. But hemis shorcha is avdi, that's knas. V'omer lo hemis mashbiachani v'omer amen potur. Omer lo chavalti v'yasisa b'chaburo, omer lo chavalti v'lo asisi, v'ashbiachani v'omer in chaye. But omer lo avdo, he paltas sheni simitsas eini, that's a knas, right? V'omer lo paltas v'lo simitsi v'ashbiachani v'omer in pot, zeklal. Kol mishal ma b'yatz mechayev, sheni mishal ma p'yatz mepater. So this is the very whole end of the Mishnah here, that's what they meant, which basically says that any shvuas hapikadon case about the obligation of a knas is potter. Why? Because that klal. If you're modeh and miftar, there's no shvuas hapikadon. So Tosfos asks, why don't we poshate the shvuas ha'edus question from shvuas hapikadon? The question is tamua, because the answer is so obvious. Right? Why? What's the answer? Sorry, just give me another minute or two, just... Tosfos says, Teva, Tifshot Masisan so perakam de shvuas, the so perak shvuas a pikadon. And also petitas pitcher of shim and potter shenem a shalim alpia. Now filra bonalam a chayvi alimishim de kasabi voshes of kam katava. Ushvuas edus minayofin of exerishav and attachta the ikar shvuas edus de mayer betvias mamon and amra alibishvuas a pikadon. We learn the requirement of mamon in shvuas edus from shvuas a pikadon. So why does the Gemara here have a safek? It's explicit Mishnah that in Shvuas HaPikadon, Knas is Potter. Sounds like a good question on the surface, until you think about it more. Tosfos says, V'la pircha he, correctly. To the Kamon Gav, Shvuas HaPikadon, Tama Mishim, V'la Kofar Le Mamona. Shlohay Mishchai Boda Aso. K'nam Minu Le Kamon. Avalacha, Shvuas HaEdus Hava Knas, K'shar Mamon. Shim Oye Me'idim Oye Mishchai Boda Aso. Shim Oye Me'idim Oye Mishchai Boda Nitvag Mamon Acher. Tosfos says, you can't compare these two things. In Shvuas HaPikadon, we're talking about the nitva. Right? We go to the nitva and we say, you dastardly fellow, right? You owe me kefel, you owe me dalad vehe, you owe me ones pitu money, you owe me shloshim shalevet money, you owe me shein v'regel. Right? And he does what? He lies about it. That's a yawner. Why? Because his lying is not financially consequential. If he had said, yes, I do owe you kefel, what would happen? Nothing. He'd be potter. So that's a kfira of dvarim bialma. He's lying. It's a terrible thing. Right? But it's not economically consequential. But in Shvuas HaEdus, we're talking about a shvua that is imposed upon the Edim. Do you know if they had come forward and not lied, right? He would have won his case. That's economically consequential. You just, in retrospect, wonder, like, why are they even asking this question? Because they have Shus Eidus and Shus Ibn, always, you know, so, they're so intimately parallel and connected, both, right? Oh, so listen to this. So what's fascinating is that the Gemara in Ksubis, on Mem Aleph, Omid Aleph, raises the following question. What will happen in Shuas HaPikadon, right, if the guy lies about his obligation that has already been established in court? Isn't that what you were just asking?
Yeah.
So what happened is as follows. They went to court. The guy stole money. There's a Chiyuv Gneiva. There's a Chiyuv Kefel. He wasn't motivated by Knas. He went through the whole trial. He denied it all. The Adam came, he was chayiv, he's chayiv to pay kefal. Okay? But he didn't pay the kefal yet. Right? And then he ran away. Right? So now, the fellow brings him to court, he says, or maybe he paid the karen already. And he says, in another court, you were convicted, you owe me kefal money. Right? And you're not paying up. And the guy says, I swear I don't, never did it, not, never happened. Or I paid you already. Whatever it is. He denies it. Now, la'achar hamada bedin, or la'achar gmar din, there's no motive of knas pator anymore. So his lie right now is economically consequential. So the Gemara's mistapek in Ksubas, mem aleph, omid aleph, is there a chi of shuas apikadon when the guy lies about a knas la'achar hamada bedin or not? What's a safek? Because ikaro knas, it's a great language. That's exactly like our Gemara in Shuas HaEdus, when you take away the Mishnah fact that Tosas ends up using as the Teretz. Meaning, does the shame knas, is there a shame knas lachar madabedin? Right? And if there, that's one question. And if there's a shame knas lachar madabedin, right, does shame knas, even when the financial repercussions are identical, right, exclude the chiyuv korban shuas apikadon? That's the Gemara safek. So what's fascinating is that the Ramban on Lamed Dalet Omer Aleph connects a little bit to this Gemara. So the Ramban says, I'm mistapek, right, about the Gemara Ksuvas Mem Aleph Omer Aleph's safek about shuas apikadon regarding shuas Eidos, even though lahalacha, we say that there's no chiyuv shuas eidus b'knas, right? Will we say it even la'achar gmar din because it's ikaro knas, like the Gemara is thinking to say it in shuas apikadon? And what's the relationship to the maskana about shuas apikadon? Are they equal? Is that whatever we say about shuas apikadon that we're going to say about shuas eidus here? Or is shuas eidus more hypersensitive to the category of knas and less likely to be chayiv, or more likely to be chayiv than shuas apikadon? Ramban has three dayos. Now again, that's exactly what we're looking for, because you have the right, the conceptual category of knas as opposed to mamon, but you've completely eliminated for both of them any question, even the Ramban part. You know, or you know, the only thing that remains kind of is the Rimigash, Rashi, but it's on the next phase. To say it's Shem Knas, Kodem Amana Bedin, because Iluboy Miftar is one, are you going to still say that once Bezdin pronounced their Psa? It's still Shem Knas. Right? And if it is, Shem Knas as opposed to Mammon, where there's pure consequential, you know, ramification, is different in Shuas HaPikadon and Shuas HaEdus, and if so, in which direction? So you get exactly, that's what you're asking me, right? You get exactly this whole discussion. Now, the question that remains, which we're not going to discuss because we're already a little late, is, does the question of Shem Knas, its existence, and then the secondary question, how does that impact Shuas HaEdus, how does it impact Shuas HaPikadon, have anything to do with the well-known discussion about knasos? Are they generated by Bezdin, right? or are they just implemented by Beis Din with a tour of Hodah, but they're generated by the mice? It could be those are two different issues. Instinctively, it makes a lot of sense that they're connected. So I want to talk about that for 5 minutes next week, and then we'll move on to Harsha, which is the next study.